Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Look, she should be deported. Why is this woman even still in this country? This is the story that just caught my eye here a few minutes ago. I just had to say something about it here on X. So, you guys remember there was this story about this MSU Northern professor who got busted for despicably celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. MSU Northern is, of course, in Havre, Montana. And this isn't a Montana professor. She's a professor who happens to be in Montana, but she's not a Montanan. She's a Canadian. And here she is mocking and celebrating a political assassination on American soil. Not only that, but think about having this woman in a classroom with your kids who share the same beliefs as Charlie Kirk. Can you trust your kids in this classroom with this woman? And she's not even a United States citizen. But this is what caught my eye here. So I was scrolling through some of the local news headlines here just a few minutes ago. And I see this story in the Billings Gazette. And it's a, you know, a story from the Liberal Lee newspapers. And so I think it was probably written by somebody maybe out of their Helena location or one of their other locations. Oh yeah, it's a reporter for the Ravalli Republican, the Missoulian. And this is what caught my eye here is the fact that, okay, so did the Liberal Lee newspapers report on this story right after it broke? There were people like Kat in eastern Montana posting on X the screenshots of this MSU Northern professor who was then put on leave by MSU Northern after her celebrations of the assassination of Charlie Kirk on X. Liberal Lee newspapers didn't decide to cover the story then, but now they're covering the story. But see, no, they're not covering the story. They're not covering what this deranged professor said and did. No, they're covering for this deranged professor who is not even an American citizen. You read this story and they're trying to paint her as the victim, the woman who celebrated a political terrorist assassination on American soil. She's not even an American citizen. But in this piece where the Liberal Lee newspapers tries to paint her as the victim, they're saying, oh, she's got fears of being deported now, like she might lose her visa or whatever. You know what? I've known good, productive Canadians that have run good, productive businesses in places like Billings, Montana. And even they couldn't stay in the United States of America. They had to go back to Canada. And it was just crazy. It was like, why did they have to go back to Canada? They're good people. They run good businesses, go to church, everything like this. But yet this deranged professor celebrating a political assassination on American soil is now being painted as a victim by the Liberal Lee newspaper. Oh, she's worried she might be deported. You know what? Good people have not been allowed to stay in the United States of America. Why should some deranged nut job professor who was celebrating a political assassination on American soil, why should she be allowed to stay on American soil? Give me a break. I gotta text a friend at ICE or something to see if we can do something about this situation.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of sunshine in store for today with high temperatures reaching up into the lower 80s. Then for tonight, under mostly clear skies, we'll dip into the upper 40s for Bozeman, but mid-50s for Billings for tonight. Friday, mostly sunny skies will ease back to the upper 70s for Billings with some low to mid 70s for Bozeman. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Securing America.
The Pentagon is looking into ways to protect national security facilities from incursions, and one of those possibilities is counter-drone systems. U.S. Northern Command reported at least 350 drone incursions happened in 2024 at more than 100 military installations. Jason Mays is a U.S. NORTHCOM Counter-Small Unmanned Aerial System Division Operation Manager.
You don't want one of these things flying through, like I said, on an airfield, on an approach or departure departure path when aircraft are coming in or taking off.
Some 20 anti-drone systems were recently tested at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, which gives companies a chance to test their anti-drone systems in real environments. U.S. Northcom estimates there's around 8,000 drones in the air at any given time. Mays says not every drone is nefarious. Some are just people flying them and don't know they're not supposed to be there. But adding drones can easily be modified. Tom Graham, Fox News.
Mo' money, mo' problems. Why does that seem to be the case with public schools in places like Minnesota? They got mo' money than places like Mississippi, yet they got mo' problems in their public schools. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. The National School Report Card is out, and the grades are not good, but they're a little better in Montana than elsewhere across the country. We're going to talk about that and more Thursday's Montana Talks right here, statewide, 9 to 10.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, poor Belimba Brownlee, poor Belimba Brownlee, poor Belimba Brownlee. My goodness. So she's an associate professor of criminal justice. Yeah, we know what kind of criminal justice she wants. She wants what she sees as justice for the criminals, not justice for the victims, not justice for everybody else. That's what this associate professor of criminal justice obviously stands for. What a nut job. So Samantha Belimba Brownlee is her name. And by the way, I also reached out to MSU Northern a few days ago and confirmed that she is on leave. We had an email from one of our listeners that said, hey, I heard the chancellor from MSU Northern had been called down to Helena over this situation. That I can't confirm, because when I asked the Office of Commissioner of Higher Education about that, they told me that, well, these personnel matters are all, you know, we don't comment on those. So anyway, this associate professor of criminal justice, Samantha Belimba Brownlee, called Charlie Kirk a misogynistic, racist, homophobic, xenophobic a-hole. This is after he was gunned down on American soil, politically assassinated. Everything that she just said right there was a straight-up freaking lie. She said, and then she said some more, you know, absurd things about Charlie Kirk. And then she said, quote, no, I do not mourn the man. Then, and that was apparently right in the immediate aftermath of Charlie Kirk being shot. And then she followed it up with, update, he died. Aw, shucks. Thoughts and prayers. This is a woman who is not even an American citizen. Neither is her husband. Neither is her husband, this Belimba Brownlee. Now, regardless of whether Montana state law protects her social media posts or not, there is nothing that says she is allowed to stay in the United States of America, a country apparently she seems to despise. Because Charlie Kirk was an American patriot who loved this country, who loved freedom, who preached about America's foundational principles. And then this woman comes into this country and celebrates a political terrorist assassination on American soil. Let's go further down into this story, because you can see where, oh, the Liberal Lee newspapers didn't want to cover this story right after it broke. But then several days later, they cover for somebody who celebrated a political assassination on American soil. You guys know this is a pattern with the liberal media here in Montana, right? If there's a bad story about Democrats or leftists, they don't cover it right away. Oh, they know about it. Don't think that they're just sitting back. Oh, they took a day off of X. They stopped following the Montana politics hashtag for a day. No, they saw it. They know the news is out there. They just refuse to cover it because they don't cover the Democrats. They don't cover left-wing professors. They cover for the Democrats. They cover for left-wing professors. And this is another example of that, where the liberal Lee newspapers refused to cover this story, but now they're covering for this nut job left-wing professor who is not even an American citizen. And then they actually interview her because, of course, she knows she's got a friendly outlet here that can try to paint her to be some sort of freaking victim here. She was complaining that a Haver councilwoman screenshotted her comments on Facebook. Oh, no, you're celebrating a political terrorist assassination on American soil, and you're mad because a Haver city councilwoman took screenshots of you, a Canadian citizen, celebrating a terrorist assassination on American soil. Well, cry me a river over that one. Let's see. Let me scroll down the article here a little bit further where they try to paint her as the victim once again. She's claiming she's had these threats against her. Look, anybody involved in politics has had threats against them. But you know what? You know, the liberal Lee newspapers never report on all the Republican legislators that faced death threats or their kids that faced death threats. Oh, but let's paint Belinda Brownlee as a victim. So Belinda Brownlee and her husband, they claim they've been in the United States for 12 years, 10 of them in Haver. By the way, Haver is just south of the Canadian border, so it's not a long trip for these two to be sent home. Brownlee, this is her husband, said he was starting to feel American. But when this happens, they remind me that it's almost like, because of where I was born, I'm never allowed to be a part of this country. Oh, give me a break, man. Oh, because of where I was born, I'm not a U.S. citizen. Oh, gee. You just figured that one out, and your wife is a college professor? Yeah, no, you are not entitled to come into this country and automatically become an American. There are people who came to this country legally and earned that opportunity to be an American. And here he is whining. As your wife is celebrating a political terrorist assassination on American soil. And then he continues to whine. To be told that they just want to throw us away like garbage because we have a difference of opinion is extremely hurtful and very frustrating. Oh, you're hurt. Oh, you feel like hurtful because people want to say, well, why don't you go back to freaking Canada if you're going to celebrate the death of somebody? So it's okay for them to celebrate the assassination and the murder of somebody that they disagree with. But somebody says they should go back to Canada. It's extremely hurtful. Extremely hurtful. Well, you know what? Take your hurt feelings, pack them up in a suitcase, and get the hell out of Montana. Get the hell out of the United States of America.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Former Democratic Ohio Representative Mary Rose Okar died recently. Born to parents of Lebanese and Syrian ancestry, Okar was known as a disruptor during her 8 terms in Congress. In 1976, Okar launched an innovative congressional campaign that would become the stuff of Cleveland political legend. Okar drove through her district in a Model T Ford and later a rose-decorated convertible. People would come out to see the cars and then meet the congresswoman. She quickly established herself as a formidable advocate for women's rights and championing money for breast cancer research. But Okar opposed abortion, which put her at odds with many women's organizations. And as one of only a few Arab Americans in Congress, she clashed with pro-Israel lawmakers. Okar lost re-election in 1992 after overdrafting 213 checks with the House Bank. She later pleaded guilty to charges related to illegal campaign contributions and was sentenced to probation and community service. Mary Rose Okar was 85 years old. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Only a few voters feel like they're getting ahead financially these days. But what about the bigger picture? Here's one of the questions we ask on our Fox News survey to find out. Do you think life for the next generation of Americans will be better or worse than life today? While 36% say life will be better, a much higher number, 62%, think life will be worse. That's somewhat gloomier than the 53% who felt that way a year ago. In part, that 9-point increase is because of greater pessimism among young people. However, a new president is also behind the shift. Over half of Republicans now say life for the next generation will be better than life today, even though just last year, 7 in 10 said the reverse was true. Similar story among Democrats. A year ago, when Joe Biden was president, over half were optimistic. Now most, 8 in 10, are pessimistic. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, citing near record production costs in a low-price environment, the National Corn Growers Association has launched a task force to help identify solutions to bring costs more in line with today's commodity prices. Corn growers nationwide are now in their third consecutive year of net negative returns, with 2026 projected to be the fourth year of negative returns. Recent analysis from the National Corn Growers Association economists show that input prices remain at near record highs despite the precipitous drop in per bushel corn prices in the last 3 years. And average production costs have dropped just 3% from their peak in 2022 to 2025, while corn prices have declined by over 50% over this same time period. In some other news here on this Thursday morning, just a reminder that livestock producers who suffered feed losses from floods or wildfires in 2023 or 2024 are able to apply for $1 billion in USDA disaster aid to help offset higher feed costs. USDA on September 12th announced the new payment assistance and is available to livestock producers under the Emergency Livestock Relief Program for 2023 and 2024 flood and wildfire. This is a separate payment program from the 2024 program, which USDA rolled out in late May. Now, sign up is underway and will continue through October 31st. For more details or to do exactly that, to get signed up, please contact your local USDA Service Center. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
It's more than a convention. It's where the cattle industry comes together. CattleCon 2026 is heading to downtown Nashville, February 3rd through February 5th. Gain insights from top cattle industry experts, connect with fellow producers, and take part in shaping the future of our business. Plus, world-class entertainment and inspiring keynote speakers. Whether you're there for the business, the education, or the good times, CattleCon is where it all comes together. Register today at convention.ncda.org.
Working cattle has never been easier than with the Silencer Cattle Chute from Western Ranch Supplies. The Silencer Chute is accepted throughout the cattle industry as the most innovative and technologically advanced chute on the market. A fully hydraulic chute that's fast, easy to use, easy on your livestock, and the name says it all. Silencer. Stop by and see for yourself. Then you'll know why folks just can't keep quiet about the Silencer Cattle Chute from Western Ranch Supply, serving the big country with the quality and service you can trust.
Well, last week at the Public Lands Council's annual meeting in Flagstaff, Arizona, there truly was a sense of renewed optimism amongst ranchers this year that the Trump administration shares their same desire to keep grazing part of America's federal landscape. Here's PLC Executive Director Caitlin Glover.
You know, Russell, it makes all the difference in the world when people show up. They might not get the result they want. They might not have everything that they've asked for. But when people show up, when they feel like they're listened to, and when they have a partner on the other side of the table or even sitting beside them, that makes such a difference in their level of investment and their level of encouragement and positivity for the future.
And both U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Director Brian Nesbitt said That ranching will very much continue on America's public lands under President Trump. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so it seems like if I'm reading these stories right here, I'm just printing up my stack of stuff. If I'm reading these stories right here, you guys probably heard about these attacks on ICE agents where we saw yet again, similar to what happened with the Charlie Kirk assassination, where that trans Tifa activist engraved the bullets with specific left-wing phrases as he launched this attack against Charlie Kirk. We're seeing this attack against ICE agents. Apparently, the shooter was trying to shoot the ICE agents, but ended up shooting some of the detainees instead, which is kind of ironic when you think about it, because the left-wing activist was mad about ICE detaining these illegal aliens, and what does the left-wing shooter do? He shoots the illegal aliens by accident instead. But they found engraved rhetoric on the bullets once again. Anyway, we'll get to that story. But speaking of these attacks on ICE agents, I had like three different sound bites where now they're calling out the Democrats for their just vehement rhetoric targeting ICE agents, calling them Nazis, calling them fascists. You had Jasmine Crockett referring to ICE agents as slave patrols. Our producer Caden thankfully snagged like three different sound bites for me that caught my eye earlier this morning, linking the Democrats' far left rhetoric along with these attacks against ICE agents. And so I thought about putting a little montage together, but then I spotted Tom Elliott, Grabian Media, has got an entire montage with more than even just those three sound bites I just mentioned. First, though, let's get into your phone calls. We've got Scott in Bridger on the line. Scott, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, first off, thanks for taking my call. It's great to be on the air with you guys. You guys are great. You guys do an amazing job reporting everything as true as you can get it. And it's beautiful. I love it.
You're too kind. Great. Thank you.
You guys do an amazing garage. You guys do an amazing job. But I don't, I hear all of these calls now for people that like basically call to arms. And that everybody's wanting everybody to fight with everybody else about everything. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your religion. People just want to fight with people about being people, and that's not what we should be looking at right now. Charlie Kirk was an amazing individual that spread an amazing concept, and if people can't just step back for a second, look at that, and realize that, hey, maybe I got it wrong one time. Well, I'm sorry. Maybe you got it wrong.
All right. Hold that thought. We got to hit the Fox News update here. Back in. Do it here. Let me see. I meant to check in there with our caller from Bridger. I think it's Scott. Scott, are you still on the phone lines there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so no, I appreciate where you're coming from. Charlie Kirk, was all about going right into the middle of the fight, getting right into the middle of the debate. So what do you...
And that's what it was. It was the debate. It wasn't the fight. We were going into the debate. We wanted to talk about it. It's just, let's bring it out into the open. Let's put it in the forefront. Let's talk about it.
Where are you hearing the call for arms? Because the only arms.
I'm sorry, and I made the mistake. I made the mistake last week when I called in about saying the call to arms. But the guy you had fill in for you last week almost seemed like he was making a call to arms when he was saying we need to stand up for and we need to fight for. And we need to, it wasn't about stand up and fight for, it was about stand your ground. It wasn't a call to arms, it was a call to defend ours.
Well, almost like calling for a call to arms is not a call to arms to pick up guns and to wage a physical battle. I think we are in a war in this country right now. Now whether you want to call
it, I agree entirely.
I think when we talk about getting into the fight and getting into the battle, we're not doing what the left is, which is we're not the ones that are rioting in the streets, burning down buildings. We're not the ones that are picking up guns and going after other people. That's what the left is doing. In fact, the left has continued to do this. We've had three major left-wing terror incidents here just since Charlie Kirk was assassinated alone. And in fact, I would go back to, you know, since everybody, you know, wants to talk about, hey, what would Charlie Kirk do? What would Charlie Kirk say? Yeah, he would get back into the debate, which in a figurative sense is getting back into the fight. Here is how. So coming up, so I've got the details. If people want to get tickets to the Turning Point USA event on the Montana State University campus, which is coming up October 7th, I'm planning on getting there for the event as well. They say this. This is how they describe the event on the Turning Point USA website. Each stop is a chance to honor Charlie's mission and keep the fight alive. We know he would not want us to surrender or be coerced into silence. Free speech is only free if we use our voices. Join us and let's fight to save America and honor the legacy of Charlie Kirk. Anyway, yeah, you go to MontanaTalks.com for the ticket info and more on that story. Yeah, Scott, thanks for the call, though. No, I appreciate where you're coming from because, the left is certainly the ones that are actually
fortified buildings.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, going back to this ICE story where it looks like another deranged leftist etched some anti-ICE messages into the bullets. Sam Faddis is a former CIA operations officer. He's got his expert analysis and commentary, AND Magazine. He's been a guest on this show before, but he wrote this. Another attack on an ICE facility has occurred. This time, a young person shot indiscriminately as illegals who had been apprehended were being unloaded from a van. Several individuals, all detainees, were hit. Two are dead. A third is critically injured. One unfired round found at the scene had this message etched into it, anti-ICE. And then Faddis writes this, "This will not be the last attack. The situation is worsening, not improving." And we're seeing not only continued violent rhetoric from the left, but continued actual violence from the left. Let's see here. I think Lucas Tomlinson has a report here. Yeah, a detainee was killed, two others critically wounded Wednesday after a gunman opened fire on an ICE facility in Dallas. This is Lucas Tomlinson's report from just about an hour or so ago, I think, is when he filed this report, in case it is slightly dated.
Since President Trump returned to the White House, there have been dozens of attacks on ICE officers. The shooter has been identified as 29-year-old Joshua John, who shot and killed himself after opening fire on that ICE facility in Dallas. He left behind ammunition that appears to be five rounds of 8mm Mauser on a stripper clip with the words anti-ICE written on one of the bullets. The rifle, a bolt-action German model. There was no scope attached. Now, just a few days ago, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill banning law enforcement officers, including ICE agents, from covering their faces. Newsom repeatedly asking at a press conference, "What are you afraid of?"
Yeah, and by the way, I've got that full montage of all of these Democrats just saying horrific things about the brave men and women that work for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, calling them Nazis, referring to them as slave patrols, routinely demonizing ICE agents. You're even seeing like Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker jumping in on this insanity as well. I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to have to save that montage maybe for the next hour of the show or a little bit later in the morning because, I almost forgot. We've got a guest now with us on the phone lines. We're trying to pack as much into the show as we can here this morning, but we've got Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar on the phone lines right now. He wanted to update our listeners on this battle that he is in the middle of, apparently, at the PSC amongst his fellow Republican Public Service Commissioners. Commissioner Molnar, thanks for calling in. For people who maybe haven't heard about your story, basically, you know, and fill me in if I get it wrong here, but basically some complaints have been leveled against you, and you were told that you were under investigation. They wanted to question you, but they wouldn't even tell you what you were under investigation for, and then now more of your colleagues are speaking up. And anyway, what's the latest with this whole deal?
Well, first of all, thanks for sharing your listeners with me. I think this is probably one of the most important things going on in the state, but I can see where people might think I'm a little biased on that. But the latest is we took it to a judge and said that what the PSC was doing was illegal and improper. And he gave us, within like 20 minutes, a restraining order to keep to keep their request from going to the governor for his action. About a week ago, the 2 weeks was up. We had a hearing, and he maintained the temporary restraining order because all facts are on my side. He's allowing both sides to file briefs, and we'll have those done here in about a week or two. And then he said mid-October he'll know. But just to set the record straight, the Billings Gazette and the Independent Record in Helena both had the headline that this was a spat between the president and the vice president during the work session where we discussed whether or not to send a letter to the governor. I said 12 times in 3 hours, it was a very long work session, that this is a fight for a due process for everybody at the PSC, not just me, and for constitutional integrity. And that's what the fight is about. They wanted to interview me. I said, I want my attorney there. They said, that's fine, but he can't speak. I said, I'd like to know the name of my accuser. They said, nope. I said, I'd like to have the right to examine and cross-examination. They said, nope. And right now, as it stands, they claim the right to ask the governor to suspend me, to overturn an election based on a hearing that was done in the dark, a letter that was sent without any approval from the commission that would have required a four-majority vote. There was no vote. It was marked confidential. We didn't find out about it until after the governor's office asked us to respond. So people really need to know that something like the Public Service Commission might seem like a sleepy, little, backrooms, wonky bunch of people. But right now, I'm one of five commissioners in the nation fighting a $100 billion deal that will wind up pro rata on the customers of MDU in Montana. And, you know, if I'm suspended, I won't be doing that. I can't do that. And I'm the only person on the commission, possibly in Montana, that has the experience to do that sort of thing. This is a very, very high-stakes game in which the vice president is prioritizing improper political considerations because she wants to be president and wants the governor to suspend me.
And you're talking about the vice president of the Public Service Commission. So when right. I forget if it was the Lee newspapers or one of the other liberal-leaning websites like the Montana Free Press or something like that, it sounded like they were basically insinuating that you made some what they felt was offensive remarks. They even said sexist or maybe even sexual remarks was the insinuation in the news articles. What was your reaction when you read that or when you hear these claims that's why they're calling for you to somehow be disciplined as a member of the PSC?
Well, first of all, I'm a redneck in a white shirt, so I offend everybody every day. Really,
I was going to say,
there.
You've already been, you have no problem telling folks what you think. So, some people like it, some people don't.
There was one commissioner that said that during the work session. He said, harassment. But she also said that she hadn't talked to me in over 7 months. And she's right. When exactly was this supposed to take place? So, did I say something that offended somebody? I don't know. Would it have offended the average person? I don't know. Because right as it stands, I still don't know who, what, when, where, why. So I cannot defend myself. I don't know what they're talking about. You and I have met at social gatherings. I've been in politics now 36 years. And the legislative audit went through, spent 6 months at the commission. They asked people, have you been harassed? Do you feel intimidated? Do you think that you have a good work path going on? And it came up zero. And suddenly the vice president wants to be the president is coming out of walls from people I don't even know who they are.
Well, and isn't there a recall process? So, like, because I guess to me it's like, look, the people elected the commissioners. The people should be the ones to make these types of decisions. But how can the people make the decisions if the people don't get all of the information, for one? But even if they do get all the information, isn't there a recall process that could allow for this instead of, like you say, a political process that takes the decision out of the hands of the people? And we've got about 1 minute to go here with Commissioner Molnar.
Yeah, there is a process, as a matter of fact, because Commissioner Wellborn said he wanted to vote with us and he wanted to share the, to recall from the governor. He told Commissioner Panucci, if you let me chair it, I will vote with you. And he told me, I said, no deals. What do you want? And he said, you're a very good president. We need you. We got that Tranche 2 thing coming up. It's huge. Nobody else can do it. I want to pull the letter back. He said, but I don't think you should chair it. I said, well, if you want to chair it, go ahead. And he goes and he votes against us and 100% allowed them to ride roughshod over me. It was a trap. And some of the Republican central committees in that area want to recall him. It's not that hard. 15% of the people sign. You can get that from Democrats.
Interesting.
And you get a new election.
All right. Well, Commissioner Molnar, thanks for calling in. Thanks for giving us an update. And obviously, hey, the phones and the microphones are open to the other commissioners as well. All right. Appreciate your call. Thanks so much.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
These politically motivated acts of violence have got to stop. I don't think there's any denying anymore, and I'm not blaming you. Blame the shooter. I'm not going to take the ridiculous liberal argument and say that words cause the words are having an impact. We found anti-ICE messages on the shooter's rounds. At least three people shot, one killed in this shooting this morning. And the FBI says they are investigating this incident as a targeted attack against ICE. There has been a 1,000% increase in threats against ICE agents around the country.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
It was nearly 2 years ago that terrorists murdered more than 1,200 innocent Israelis, took 250 hostages. Murder, rape, kidnapping, torture, even beheading. Today it seems as if the cries of the dead and the dying have been drowned out. And yet, as the world may look away, light is shining in this darkness. And it is a movement of love and support for the good people of Israel. It's called the Flags of Fellowship. It's organized by our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And on October the 5th, just a few weeks away, millions across America will prayerfully plant an Israeli flag in honor and solidarity with the victims of the October 7th, 2023 attack and their grieving families. Now, you can be a part of this as well. Get information, and you can join the Flags of Fellowship. Just go to the fellowship online at ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org today.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of sunshine in store for today with high temperatures reaching up into the lower 80s. Then for tonight, under mostly clear skies, we'll dip into the upper 40s for Bozeman, but mid-50s for Billings for tonight. Friday, mostly sunny skies, will ease back to the upper 70s for Billings, with some low to mid-70s for Bozeman. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, there is a debate in the race for mayor of the city of Billings and a forum for Billings City Council candidates. Plus, endorsements are now coming out for these important city elections right around the corner. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Go to MontanaTalks.com. You can see who is endorsed for mayor and city council by the Yellowstone County Republican Women. The full list is out. Go share it with your friends. Don't let these elections catch you by surprise.
The Black Jackets back.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you guys are following me on X, of course, it is Thursday, and I just posted a note. David Noble is taken this morning off from the show, so we thought, hey, let's find somebody to fill in. Somebody to fill in and give us a Trump W of the week. Somebody to fill in and give us a woke update of the week as well. So anyway, John Jackson, the Joker from X, he's going to fill in for David coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. So that'll be fun, especially for you early risers that may not get to stick around for the 8 and 9 o'clock hours of the show on Tuesdays when John is with us. Back into the phone lines where we go. Of course, we'll be taking your phone calls in that hour as well. 406-294-0970. We've got Tom in Billings on the line. Tom, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, Aaron, and I thank you for your service.
Thanks for yours. Thanks for the call. What's going on?
I met Charlie Kirk years ago. I actually had the greatest opportunity to actually talk to him. And, you know, I voted for Donald Trump 3 times. I'm a Republican. I'm a Gulf War veteran. And Charlie Kirk brought something to my mind about, you know, when you see the dollar bill, and you see Washington on the front of it, I would wish people would flip it over and see In God We Trust. Because without God, we don't have a country. And without our country, we don't have a party. We don't have a republic. I don't want death to, I don't want bad things. I listened to J.D. Vance's interview last night when he said, you know, if you're going to do political violence, you can go to hell. Well, you know what? I don't want Democrats. I don't want Republicans. I don't want independents. I don't want anybody to go to hell.
That's right. You want them to see the light and turn towards the light. Great point, Tom. Thanks for the call there. Yeah. Speaking of J.D. Vance, yes. Yeah, so he was talking about the political violence that we're continuing to see out there, and continuing to see even after this assassination on American soil. You're now seeing more attacks coming from the left. You're seeing peace from our side, you're seeing more violence from their side. Here's what J.D. Vance had to say. He actually gave some remarks, I think, in North Carolina yesterday.
We do feel pretty confident.
Yes. Oh, let me replay it here. Hold on. There we go. All right. Here we go. Let me play the clip. Sorry, I got the phone lines mixing in with my computer audio, so sometimes I got to drop a call in order to play the clip here.
We do feel pretty confident this was a motivated left-wing political attack, and that, I think, goes to show that we have way too much of this in our country, especially the last couple of weeks. And I'd encourage everybody to really tone down the rhetoric when it comes, particularly to our law enforcement and our ICE agents. These are people who are enforcing the law as it's written by Congress and as instructed by the President of the United States. The fact that they've become such a target of online, social media, and even political harassment, I think, you know, thank God most people don't intend to do them harm, but as we find out today, some people do intend to do them harm, and they'll act on it. So I think we all need to tone down the temperature a little bit. I think in particular, my Democratic colleagues need to ask some very hard questions about why it is that folks from their side of the political aisle seem to be engaged in these politically motivated attacks. And I think it's important for them to look in the mirror and say, wait a minute. Can we look in the mirror? Can we actually take some steps to police some of the violent rhetoric on our own side? Because unless they do, I fear stuff like that, this is going to keep on happening.
All right. By the way, I had a great message from Evan in Belt that I meant to share earlier. When we opened up the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I was telling you about this this professor at MSU Northern, and she's a Canadian citizen. She's the one who was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Evan in Belt says this: as an alum of Northern Montana College, I can tell you this professor would have never made it a day as an employee at this great school after making such comments. If you know anyone at ICE who can get her the hell out of our country, I'm all for it. We can forgive, but they need to understand there are consequences for their actions.
A message from FireSafe Montana. A process called wildfire scoring may be used to determine the insurability of your property. Your home may be insurable today, but it might not be in the future. If building a new home, check with your insurance agent to determine if they will insure it, how that score was determined, and what the cost will be. And remember, wildfires can happen inside the city limits. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.